Welcome to the Deep Dive. We plunge into the most compelling insights, cutting through the noise so you can get informed fast. Today, we're tackling a challenge, a real dilemma many organizations face, especially in finance. It's that tension. How do you move fast, innovate, grab market share, but also stay totally secure and, maybe most importantly, compliant? It often feels like you have to pick one, speed or safety.
Right. It's that classic perceived trade-off, isn't it? Throughput versus stability. And financial services organizations, well, they feel this really acutely. The sort of ingrained belief is you either slow down software delivery, validate every single step, or you speed up and you risk security, you risk compliance. And historically, that's meant this slow by default deployment pipeline just weighed down by endless manual checks.
Yeah. And here's the really ironic part. When something urgent comes up, like a critical fix, an expedited process often gets created to bypass all those usual checks. But what happens then?
Well, you guessed it. Those very changes, the ones pushed through hastily, they're often the source of most production issues. Regressions.
It's like the system is designed to fail exactly when you need it most.
Exactly. But, you know, what if that whole tension, what if it's actually a myth? Our deep dive today is going to explore exactly that. We're digging into a recent industry report. It's based on a 2025 survey looking at 50 financial services organizations. And this report, it gives us a kind of shortcut. It shows how some companies are not just managing this tension, but actually breaking it. They're turning what feel like regulatory burdens into, well, genuine competitive advantages.
Okay, so that's our mission for this deep dive. We're going to really dissect this relationship between compliance and software delivery. We'll explore how continuous delivery CD can potentially turn these regulatory demands into a strategic asset. We'll look at the impact of new regulations like DRA, the Digital Operational Resilience Act, and uncover some, frankly, surprising insights about what really helps organizations navigate this complex landscape.
Right. So let's start with that traditional slow by default pipeline you mentioned. As you said, the moment an urgent change is needed, maybe a critical security patch, many places resort to a special expedited process. It feels like the path of least resistance at the time, but it often skips the very validation steps meant to ensure quality.
And that's where it all goes wrong.
Yeah.
Why do those expedited paths, the ones rarely used, cause so many problems? What's fundamentally flawed there?
It's interesting because the checks themselves aren't really the problem. It's the manual nature of them. When you shortcut manual checks, you bring in human error, inconsistencies, you lose proper review. And this is precisely what continuous delivery aims to solve. You know, Dave Farley and Jez Humble laid this out years ago. The best solution isn't choosing speed or safety. It's creating a streamlined, automated deployment pipeline for all changes, every single one. This cuts down manual handling massively, which counterintuitively maybe increases both throughput and stability. A modern CD pipeline doesn't skip necessary business checks. It just makes them frictionless, automated, and crucially reliable.
Okay, so automation is the key. Speed and safety. Not speed or safety. That's a big shift. Now, that regulatory hammer, it's definitely been getting heavier. DOR is a prime example. Digital Operational Resilience Act. An EU initiative enacted 2023 with that compliance deadline of January 17, 2025. For many listening, that date might have just passed or is looming very, very close.
That's right. And DORA was specifically designed to protect the financial sector from, well, the steady rise in cyber attacks. Its scope is pretty wide. It applies to financial institutions in the EU and, importantly, their third-party ICT suppliers. So think cloud providers, software vendors. It also builds on existing frameworks, things like ISO, TOT 27001, the NIST cybersecurity framework. So for some companies, there's already a foundation there.
And it covers a lot of ground, doesn't it? Incident management, resilience testing, data sharing, managing third-party risk. That last one sounds particularly tricky. What are the stakes here? If you don't comply, it's not just a small fine, is it?
Oh, not at all. The report really highlights this. In 2024 alone, worldwide regulatory fines hit a record $19.3 billion.
Wow, billion.
Billion. And $4.3 billion just in the U.S. But beyond the massive fines and the reputational damage from public reprimands, there's an increasing willingness to pursue criminal prosecution. We're talking potential jail time for senior execs.
Jail time?
Yeah, typically 5 to 20 years. So this isn't just, you know, a corporate risk. It's deeply personal for leadership.
That certainly changes the conversation at the board level, I imagine. How is that personal risk affecting how leaders engage with compliance now? Are they getting more hands-on?
It seems so. It's forcing a much more active, informed involvement. Leaders are realizing compliance can't just be delegated or siloed anymore. It has to be woven into the fabric of how software gets delivered. And the survey showed a real impact on product delivery. Most organizations are losing up to 20% of their roadmap time just to compliance activities.
20%? That's huge.
It is. Things like software changes, process changes, adopting new tools. And get this, 38% are losing more than 20% of their time. A significant chunk.
So a massive drain on resources, on innovation bandwidth. Why do some seem to handle it better than others? What's the difference?
Well, the report points to a few things. Some operate only outside the EU, so DORA doesn't hit them directly. Others might already be compliant with things like ISO 27001 or NIST CSF, so they have robust systems in place already. But for those where DORA is the main driver for adopting new practices, the investment is much higher. They're looking at big process overhauls, new controls, maybe even replacing tools that just don't cut it anymore.
And here's something that really jumped out at me from the survey. Some organizations weren't even aware of DORA.
Yeah, a small number, but it's true. The survey itself actually prompted them to go look into it.
That's startling. It really makes you think, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
For you listening, are you sure you're aware of all the regulations that could impact your organization? It's a real wake-up call.
Definitely.
So specifically for DORA, where are companies focusing their compliance efforts? What are the main changes?
The report lists some common areas, things like strengthening disaster recovery, business continuity planning, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Enhanced monitoring and alerting systems, improving incident management, classifying incidents properly, more rigorous security testing, vulnerability management, and, as you flagged, that particularly difficult area of improving practices for third-party suppliers and securing the whole supply chain, that adds a whole layer of external complexity.
Right. Managing vendors is always tough. And beyond the direct security stuff, there's this huge administrative burden too, right?
Absolutely. More frequent security patching, which means more deployments, enhanced documentation, audit trails. Auditors love those. Increased internal audits, more detailed incident reporting. It becomes very clear that organizations without automated deployment pipelines really struggle. They just can't meet the demand for increased deployment frequency that this kind of legislation requires.
Which brings us back to continuous delivery. It sounds like CD and DevOps aren't just nice to haves anymore. They're becoming essential for survival, especially in regulated industries.
That's exactly what the data suggests. Organizations are actively using CD and DevOps not just for speed, but specifically to meet compliance goals and ship working software faster. The survey backs this up. 55%, over half, are automating processes in their software delivery pipeline, and 53% are explicitly focused on improving security and compliance through these initiatives.
So it's not just about checking the compliance box. It's fundamentally about getting better at delivering software. A theme that keeps coming up in this research is the need to improve deployment frequency and change lead time. Why is deploying early and often such an advantage, especially for compliance?
Well, deploying frequently, even small changes, gives you much faster feedback loops. You catch problems earlier, you can react to market shifts quicker. It increases agility dramatically. And in the compliance context, this is critical. Think about vulnerabilities. Frequent deployments let you quickly update dependencies, patch third-party code, and close those security gaps fast. The report introduces a neat idea here called the delivery score. It's basically a 0 to 100 scale based on how often you deploy and how long it takes for a change to get to production, the lead time.
Okay, give me an example.
Sure. So if you're deploying many times a day and your lead time is less than an hour, boom, you score 100. Perfect score. But if you're only deploying, say, weekly and your lead time is less than a week, your score plummets down to 38.
Wow, 38 versus 100. That really quantifies the difference.
Exactly. It clearly shows the measurable impact of deployment speed and efficiency.
All right, now let's get into something really fascinating.
Yeah.
The findings on approvals. This kind of flipped my expectations. Most people, myself included, probably assume fewer manual approvals, faster delivery.
Always. Mm-hmm.
And mostly that's true. The data shows single approvals had median delivery scores 3 times higher than having 6 approvals. No surprise there.
Hmm.
But the shocker is that some approval chains, multiple steps, actually outperformed single approvals. How does that even work?
Yeah, this is one of the most surprising bits. The 2 highest performing setups were number 1, team approves, then direct managers approve, then it goes to other departments. That had a median score of 68.8.
Okay.
And number 2 was simpler. Team approves, then direct managers approve. Median score 56.2. Still really good. The key insight seems to be this moderating effect. Having the team and their direct manager involved early, even if other departments come later, it suggests that those initial reviews are solid. The groundwork is laid. So when it gets to other departments, there's this trusted endorsement and things move much faster.
So it's less about the number of steps and more about who approves and when. Getting that initial team and manager buy-in is critical.
Precisely.
Was there any approval setup that was just universally bad?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. The strongest negative finding was crystal clear. Cross-department committees are terrible for software delivery performance. Universally bad.
Huh. I think a lot of listeners just nodded grimly at their speakers.
Probably. It's likely down to scheduling nightmares, poor information flow. They just become black holes where decisions go to die. Avoid them if you can.
Okay, message received. Ditch the committees. Now, how you capture approvals also matters, right? The report mentions tools.
Yes, definitely. Capturing approvals right within your deployment pipeline tools or maybe your IT service management, ITSM tools, that's the most effective way.
Why is that so important, especially thinking about audits?
It boils down to auditability and efficiency. This problem of multimodal approval capture, you know, getting sign-offs via paper, emails, random meetings.
Yeah, chaos.
Total chaos. It creates bottlenecks and it makes auditing incredibly complex. You're scrambling to find evidence scattered everywhere. Mm-hmm. Centralizing it in your tools streamlines the whole thing. It makes audits, frankly, much less painful because the evidence is right there, time-stamped, easy to find.
Makes sense. Okay, let's shift gears slightly to reliable deployments. You need good approvals, but you also need to actually do the deployment reliably. The report points out a big bottleneck here. Having too few people who can actually push the button. Deployment gatekeepers, they call them.
Yes, and this can be just as damaging as a bad approval process. The data is really stark here. When fewer than four people in an organization can trigger a deployment to production, it introduces significant unnecessary delays.
Fewer than four, that seems low.
It does, but incredibly, over 60% of the organizations surveyed had fewer than four designated deployers.
60%? Wow. And what's the impact on that delivery score we talked about?
It's significant. The median score jumps from 42 up to 59 when you cross that four deployer threshold.
Okay, so having too few keys to the kingdom really holds you back from getting the benefits of automation.
Exactly. It prevents you from realizing those efficiency gains.
So the answer, again, seemed to come back to automation. The report really hammers this home. Automation boosts frequency, cuts lead time, improves reliability.
It's fundamental. And automation gets around that gatekeeper bottleneck, too. When deployments are automated, any authorized person can trigger them safely because the process itself is codified and tested.
What about databases? That's often a scary area for automation.
It is, but it's critical. The report stresses that both application and database deployments need to be automated. And importantly, this automated path should become the only way changes happen.
The only way? Why so strict?
To prevent schema drift. That's when your database structure gets out of sync between different environments. Dev, test, prod. It leads to unpredictable, hard-to-debug failures. Automation ensures all changes are version controlled, tested in pre-prod, and it reduces the need for direct production access, cutting the risk of unauthorized manual changes.
Got it. So automate everything, make it the only path. But even with automation, you still need to look at wait times, right? Queues, approval delays.
Absolutely. You need to optimize the whole flow, reduce those idle times where things are just sitting waiting for the next step. Automation speeds up the doing, but you also need to speed up the waiting. And for bigger companies or those doing platform engineering, standardizing on a common deployment tool makes a huge difference too. Approvers aren't jumping between five different systems. It streamlines things, improves visibility. Consistency helps everyone.
Okay, let's zoom out for a second. Who actually responded to this survey? What kind of companies are we talking about?
It was a pretty diverse mix from the financial sector, about a third from banking, another third from fintech, then investment banking, asset management, insurance. Roles were varied too, executives, engineering managers, engineers on the ground. One key thing though, most responses came from large organizations, enterprises.
What does that tell us? Are these findings mostly for the big players?
Well, it means they're definitely relevant for larger established firms, often the ones feeling the compliance heat the most. But it also highlights that dynamic between large and small. Smaller orgs, being leaner, more agile, they can outpace bigger ones. That's a real competitive threat. But here's the hopeful part from the report. The difference in delivery scores based purely on size wasn't as dramatic as other factors like approvals or deployers, which means large organizations that do implement lightweight approvals and reliable deployments can still outmaneuver smaller rivals. Scale isn't destiny here. These principles work.
That's really encouraging. It's not just a game for startups. The big ships can turn and turn effectively if they adopt these practices. Let's bring some of this to life. You mentioned there were quotes from respondents.
Yes, some really telling ones. For instance, one company outside the EU just said, "It has not impacted our DevOps processes because my company only operates in the US markets." Straightforward. Another, already mature in banking, said, "We are fortunate, haven't had to change much. We are already in the banking industry." So existing maturity buffers the impact.
But not everyone was so lucky.
No. One respondent shared, "We've had to dedicate time to ensuring we don't have any gaps. Addressing those gaps has taken time, too. You can feel the effort there." And then reinforcing that point about awareness, someone honestly admitted, "I have never heard of the Digital Operational Resilience Act."
Wow. That's a powerful reminder for everyone listening to stay vigilant, stay informed.
Absolutely. Could be a call to action right there for some listeners.
Okay, so let's crystallize this. What does it all mean for you, the listener? What are the core actionable takeaways from this deep dive?
All right, two main buckets. First, lightweight change approvals. Aim for healthy approval chains. If you need multiple steps, start with the team, then their direct manager. That seems key. Reduce manual approvals where you can. And critically, no cross-team committees. Just don't do it. And capture all approvals inside your deployment or ITSM tools. No paper, no emails. Improves auditability, streamlines flow.
Got it. Lightweight approvals. Bucket number two.
Second, reliable deployments. Get rid of deployment gatekeepers. Aim for four or more people who can trigger production deployments. Avoids bottlenecks. Increases throughput. Make sure both application and database deployments are fully automated. And make that automated path the only way changes get deployed. And finally, try to harmonize your deployment tools. Standardize, especially if you're larger. Reduces friction. Boosts visibility.
Okay. Lightweight approvals, reliable deployments. Seems clear.
And the core message underlying all this, compliance isn't a compromise you have to make against speed. It's actually an opportunity. Organizations that really embrace these modern software engineering practices, lightweight approvals, reliable automated deployments, they're not just ticking regulatory boxes. They're gaining a real competitive edge. They're fostering innovation. They're seriously enhancing their security. It's a win-win-win.
So if that perceived tension between speed and safety really is, as this report strongly suggests, a myth, it makes you wonder, what other deeply held beliefs about your own operations might be holding you back from achieving both compliance and market leadership? Maybe think about this. What's one area, just one, you could look at automating this week to start breaking down those barriers?